it's high towards the play there. Walsh got there ahead of him though. On carefully, gets back in again. And no
hello and welcome to the Washbag Podcast. This is episode 15. I'm Ron Smith. What a fortnight it's been at Swindon Town. Against Crewe, we look invincible. And we look like, you know, we're all getting excited and storm to the title. But as you can tell, that intro is written before the Milton Keynes game. So to sort of discuss the latest developments, I'm joined by Vic Morgan.
Hello. Welcome to you, Ron. Vic. Hello.
Yeah. And also a new podcast debutant, Ian Watkins.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad, thank you.
Good. So, I didn't go to the Milton Keynes game yesterday, Vic. You were there at Stadium MK. One of many, many fans there. Stadium absolutely packed. no empty seats.
None at all.
No. What do you make of the game?
There's one moment which changed the game. That's all you can say, really. The sending off of Nathan Byrne.
You want to jump in straight away and talk about the penalty. We might as well just sort of wrap up now, really.
Well, that was entirely the moment that changed the game, because Swindon were comfortable up until then, and Milton Keynes never looked as though they were going to pose a threat. And of course, once the player was sent off, then it completely changed and the game did turn around a little bit.
Earlier on, sort of the first half, have sort of, you know, Town set up. I mean, did you think that sort of after the Crewe game, come to such a sort of storming 5-0 victory, should have been 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, double figures. I mean, did you think that Town really would sort of go to Milton Keynes and sort of push on, really, after two great results?
I'd have been happy with a point at 12 o'clock before the game. I'd have been very happy with a point away from home at Milton Keynes. I think anybody would have been. Mm. And, you know, all right, you win 5-0 at home against Crewe, but you have to put it in perspective. It's fantastic football, loved it, but Crewe weren't that good on the day, were they, to be honest? Pritchard's goal yesterday was superb, wonderful free kick. And just, they looked very comfortable. There was no threat from MK at all. And then the sending off, and then obviously the home side got a bit of a fillip from that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go to the game. I was trying to watch it online, signed up to Now TV to try and buy the match, and paid $9.99 and had various sort of problems, and it wouldn't had various errors, so I had to fly all the way to Kuwait and watch it on Al Jazeera.
Ian, long way to go.
I know, it's a long way. It's great. You know, I managed to kind of watch it. The picture wasn't too good, but nonetheless, kind of
got the gist of it.
Got the gist of the game. Yeah. Ian, what was your sort of view on that first half?
Very similar to Vic. It was very comfortable, although Wes barely touched the ball first half. It was very surreal, actually, the sending off, because you'd seen on the telly anyway, you'd seen Nathan Byrne go on his run, lose the ball, the ball's been cleared at the other end, and then all of a sudden you hear the crowd, whoa, and you think, well, hang on, what's happened? Because the camera didn't initially catch the sending off.
Were you watching Al Jazeera as
well?
I
was not. I'm afraid I was watching on Sky Sports News, so I was lining people's pockets with money from that. But in terms of the sending off, there's been people saying definite red card, iffy red card. I personally think Byrne has been very foolish in what he's done. Mm-hmm. I understand he's gone on a run, he's lost the ball, he's a bit frustrated, but you cannot do what he's done, and I think the referee's within his rights to send him off, personally. I mean, I'm not sure how you feel.
Well, I mean, it's just Stuart Atwell again. I mean, he can't kind of come to a reputation. I mean, that's the problem, though. I mean, if players are going to get sent off for that, I think we're just going to see so many every week. And I didn't think it was sent off. I mean, yeah, you're stupid. I mean, that's the point, though, in terms of you kind of know what the referee's going to do, so why make that decision easy for them in terms of put your foot there? But he wasn't looking at all. He wasn't going in. I didn't see that he was going in with any real intent in that challenge.
I just think it's the petulance there. It's that, yeah, I've lost the ball, I'm frustrated.
But he did the same against Brentford when he got sent off as well. Was it? I can't remember when he got
that. That was a handball, wasn't it?
The second, yeah. The second you remember, it was at the far end. Yeah. It was on the ground, and I think he was, Donaldson had got away from him, may well have been handball.
Yeah, it was far end of the ground. It was the trouble is with yesterday, like you were saying, Ian, you know, when you're at the ground, I don't think anyone in the ground actually saw it unless you were right by it, because we were following the ball. It was cleared and we didn't see the offence at all. And then all of a sudden, Atwell ran across dramatically and proffered the red card, and off he went. So, it's difficult to comment without actually seeing it again.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Cooper's views on the incident were pretty sort of damning of the referee.
Well, it was right in front of the dugout, to be fair, wasn't it? So yeah, a very good view.
I mean, he basically said if we had 11 men on the pitch, we'd won the game. I think we could possibly killed the game off in the first half. And the referee then decides to get involved and evens the game up, really. I mean, Cooper also sort of said if people got sent off, we'd be playing sort of five-a-side football by the end of the season. Well, it's not actually possible, you know, have a look at the rules. Cooper said he just made a genuine attempt for the ball. He's not left the ground, just trodden his foot. I mean, yeah, I'd probably agree with you. I mean, and, you know, Carl Robinson as well after the game.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking to Reddy, he also said sort of probably not. It's not a sending off.
I think the other thing...
It's sort of one, you know, if it is, you know, Carl Robinson knows on, you know, on his foot, pun, that the, you know, he wouldn't want his players getting sent off for that as well.
But they're both kind of old school, aren't they? I mean, the problem is, you know, we live in an era now where if you raise your foot, stand on a foot, you know, in the old days, defenders used to do that all the time in a six-yard box. You know, they'd stamp on PB's foot when they were waiting for corners to come in. But we don't live in that era now, so you've got to be very careful what you do. And if a referee catches you doing it, red card, end of story.
I was looking on Twitter and Brendan Hobbs, who writes the site, so did make that point in terms of looking at the people who were saying it was a red card relative to the people who were saying it wasn't. He's saying it's a completely generational thing, that perhaps it's more sort of, you know, the younger kids, you expect that now, have always watched the game and these things have been picked up. They were saying, oh, it's a red card, why are you lot moaning, you know, just get on with it, he's a silly boy.
Yeah, I think the view that of the people,
which you sort of saying, you know, in the past,
yeah, the people that I was sitting with, I mean, we're all pretty long in the tooth, and we were all saying if he did what you say that it did, he, and then that's it, you know, red card, the referee has no choice. But again, we couldn't see it, we didn't see it, we didn't have a good view of it, so it's difficult to comment.
I mean, you know, sort of glossed over, you mentioned a bit about Pritchard's goal first half, just have that early goal again from Town, but I mean, what a free kick, just to whip it in, it just one of those perfect ones to go right up into the top corner.
Yeah, sort of Andy Gurney-esque. That's the way I described it yesterday. It's
well, the only positive you can think of Gurney, perhaps. But,
but I thought, I mean, the first half there were, I mean, Pritchard had a very early chance, which he sort of got caught under his feet. And there were a few chances later on. I mean, Byrne had a chance. If we could have gone in two up at half time, I think that would have made a hell of a difference.
Because Ranger... Yeah, I had that shot as well. Well saved.
It's I'm not sure Milton Keynes would have been out of it if we'd stayed with 11 men. I mean, I know I'm ever the optimist, but I just think they have got a bit about them, and certainly I think it did. I mean, absolutely changed the game, but it's I think it's definitely given us optimism. I mean, this is a very tricky month we've got coming up, and I think that's definitely a.
We'll come on to that a bit later. I mean, the key thing about the impact of the sending off was the timing of the MK Don's goal immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, Vic, what was your sort of view on...
Well, the only thing is you can say about that is that did the sending off make any difference as terms of the goal? I mean, my main concern is a lot of the goals that we've given away from home, have been about the fact that the ball has been played through the middle and actually players have easily got past our central defenders to score. And we saw that at Peterborough, we saw that at Shrewsbury, and we saw it again yesterday. So that must be a major concern, I would think. You know, they've got to maybe be a bit stronger in defence, I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, the ball came through, it was Bamford, wasn't it, who was the Don striker, right in between Haaland and Ward. Just had the pace, but also, I mean, you could see on that Ward... in terms of him and Hall, was the quicker one to trying to catch up. Hall just couldn't, and he's made a, you know, late ditch tackle.
Well, Ward was quite deep anyway, because he'd been quite deep when he played the ball forward in the first place before it came back. So I think, I mean, that absolutely showed his. I mean, not whether he had much pace to start with, I don't know, but that was, it was very evident there that he was found wanting. Hall was close, but I mean, I think it. I don't know whether to bring this up now, but I think it's noticeable we are playing slightly more longer balls out the back than if you think the first couple of games of the season we weren't allowed to pass more than 5-10 yards.
Yeah.
And there do seem to be a few more long balls. I mean, Ward yesterday did have options to play it. I mean, Hall moved himself into a position where he could Ward could play the ball to him.
Yeah.
That's why there was that massive gap.
So in terms of when you say there's long balls, do you mean a long ball up to Ranger.
Well, it was aimed towards Ranger.
Yeah. Well, he's the outlet that we didn't have early season. Of
course. But I mean, it was towards Ranger. It wasn't quite far enough. Kasim had gone to chance for it. We'd lost it. It came straight to perhaps Gleeson, I think it was. He then knocked it through the middle. But Hall, having moved to the right to try and receive the ball from Ward, had left that massive gap, and we know what happened after that.
Because I mean, early in the season, we've seen plenty of passes between Kasim and the defence, playing it around, trying to find the space, trying to find that good passing opportunity out, keeping the possession.
But then there was nobody to get the ball up to. That was the problem at the start of the season. Yeah. And now we've got Ranger, and we've signed other forwards too, so maybe that option is now available to them. And the early season, of course, we were playing the ball around, and then we would get the ball nicked away from us on the halfway line, and then you'd have problems at the heart of the defence. So they've changed that tactic. I think you're right. They've changed it slightly because they've got that outlet up front now.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I noticed when Town were down to 10 men, is that Kazim was still playing that very sort of deep role there. And do you think that put him being allowed to sort of being pushed forward a little bit more to join the midfield would have helped to sort of stem, particularly because we were still playing two up front yesterday?
Well, we know he can play football now, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, that's made a big difference. He's comfortable on the ball, he can play the ball around, and I think he's becoming such an increasing presence now in that midfield that he's the main fulcrum. You know, we thought it might be Ryan Harley, we thought it might be Ryan Mason, but it is definitely now Kasim.
I mean, he couldn't get a game at Luton.
Looks terrific. Yeah.
Great bargain. Another one. One that came at the end, I mean, you know, we talk about our bad luck and the referee decisions against us. That the offside goal that was disallowed for Milton Keynes, it was clearly onside, Vic. I don't know.
You didn't get a view on that.
No, he was well onside.
Really? But I mean, that was it's a real shame.
Yeah.
But as you see, I mean, a draw yesterday was...
You'd have taken that before the game, without question. And actually, you mentioned Andy Gurney. That was almost like Gurney's goal against Plymouth at Plymouth some years ago. When the Mickey Evans mystery handball gave Plymouth a penalty, which I still haven't got over all those years ago. But, of course, that we got Plymouth in the JP.
Was that the season when Plymouth won the league and Stoke had left that game?
No, I can't remember what the season was, but Gurney's free kick was terrific. And they got a penalty right at the death because Mickey Evans had handled the ball and the referee gave it to Plymouth. But, of course, we got Plymouth in the JPT. So
yes.
Nice little tie-up there.
Good. Right, so... sort of looking at the players yesterday, I mean, do you want to give any sort of player ratings of them? I mean, Fodringham
didn't have an awful lot to do, did he? He made one fairly decent save after the goal. Catching was exemplary. I mean, he didn't have wasn't challenged much, but held it first time. So well done, Wes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if there has been any comments about Wes Fodringham, I think he's one of the best positional goalkeepers we've ever had, but he's catching perhaps in the past and great, but it's now superb. And he's just a top keeper, isn't he?
He's having to learn with the ball being played to his feet quite a lot more now.
Oh gosh, yeah, well, so that is one thing we ought to mention. The back passing, they've got to stop that, because they put Wes in several uncomfortable positions. He's not an outfield footballer, we know that, so don't
it is a kind of key part of the strategy.
Well, it is.
If you are playing to
but if you're going to put your keeper in trouble, you really shouldn't do it.
It's not necessarily in trouble, though, is it?
Well, there were one or two situations yesterday which could have been quite awkward, I think.
Yeah. But fortunately, there wasn't anything coming out. You know, he did manage to clear the ball. Makes it exciting anyway, doesn't it, really? But you know, if they want to play the possession game, you know, you do drop deep. You rely on your keeper to pick out passes. I mean, he's great because he's got full sight of the pitch and he can control the tempo. So I'm not really against necessarily sort of keeping having the ball.
I just have a little concern with that, that's all. And would you hit the nail on the head with the word exciting? Sunderland's football at the moment isn't exciting. It's great to watch, but it's not blood-curdlingly exciting. So we have to get, as fans, we have to get used to that, don't we? You know, we're not going to see goal-mouth action every 2 seconds. So we have to get used to that.
But I don't want to see that. I want to see Town control, dominate, pass. You know, it's all about that, to control, get the good chances up front. Yeah, it's not going to have shots on goal every...
But it's a slightly different culture to what we're used to.
Yeah, I'm happy with that, though. I mean, Ian, any comments on style?
I mean,
of play,
it is nice to be in control of the ball, but you think back to, I mean, I don't want to mention his name, but not the previous manager, the one before that, there were games where it was, as Vic said, it was goalmouth action all the way. It was sort of pumping in crosses and that sort of thing. We're not going to have that, but it's very, certainly at this level, it's very nice to see the ball knocked around the way we do it. And it does seem there are more teams in our league doing that. I mean, Milton Keynes did it.
Yeah.
Crewe, to a lesser extent, tried to do it. Well,
Crewe, yeah, it's the Crewe way, but they haven't got the players to do it. No. That's the problem with Crewe at the moment, is they played against us poorly. But yeah, there aren't many traditional League One teams anymore, no. So to speak.
I think the point was made on the telly yesterday that a lot of technical players are finding their way down to this level because of the foreign imports that are coming in. They're sort of young English players, like we've seen with Pritchard and Mason and Hall, and it's and they're not used to the hoofing it forward and the pumping the balls in the box to a target man. They're used to knocking it around. So okay, it takes away from the fact that we're going to be sort of scoring 20 odd goals a game, or which never really happens, but anyway. But it is nice. I mean, I started watching Town Under Hoddle. I remember, I mean, I was only 11, 12 back then, but I do remember the knocking the ball around nicely, and it is nice to go back to that again.
Right, so sort of get back to the old ratings with Thompson, right back. Ed's booking flew in for a challenge, but otherwise looked relatively solid yesterday. Hall, well, we sort of covered him, really kind of showed where really a bit wanting, really, on the pace.
And young player with potential, but obviously still one or two things to learn.
McEvely.
I think he's added a lot of beef to that side of the defence, and I think that's the difference, you know, with Nathan Byrne now being free to go forward in midfield when he's available to play again. But he's made a difference, I think. Bit of height there as well.
Ward yesterday, he had a reasonable game.
Reasonable game. I mean, again, didn't have much to do, did he?
don't remember him standing out for anything apart from the goals. So yeah. I think what he did well.
Yeah, Byrne. Any other comments before he sort of got dismissed, Ian?
I thought he looked very, very. I certainly think he's a better attacker than he is. Well, I think a lot of people think he's a better attacker than a defender. Again, the comment was made on the telly yesterday about Byrne having been moved forward from defence because of McEvely, and I thought, well, hang on, personally I think he's been moved forward because he's a bit of a liability defensively. But I mean, the run before the sending off, I mean, that's, you don't expect that from a fullback. That was a very good mazy run. Okay, he didn't come to anything, but I think the fact that from where he's played he scored a goal, I mean, he had a good effort yesterday. He's certainly a threat up front, and when he joined in the summer, people were saying, well, do we see him as a winger, perhaps? Yeah. And I was a bit, not sure about that. But he's encouraging. But as we say, he's now missing the next three games, potentially. And you wonder whether...
is that just league games, or does it include the Chelsea?
It includes Chelsea games as well. Of course, if we appeal it and they turn it down and say we've wasted our time, then, of course, they make it four games.
Really? Yeah. Luongo yesterday. Oh,
again,
sort of securing his permanent deal. But,
I mean, what's good about him is he's one of these players who buzzes around and does what he does, and you don't necessarily notice he's there. And I that's not a criticism. I think as a midfield player, I like that. You know, he just does his job and sometimes does something spectacular, but for 99% of the time, he will just do an effective job for you.
Okay. Well, I mean, sort of speaking of players who sort of, you know, bits have gone a bit unnoticed. I mean, Kazim. I mean, from you know, watching, listening to the game yesterday, the commentator didn't mention Kazim until about the 80th minute, bizarrely, of you sort of just commentating. But he just kind of just provided that sort of, I'm trying to think of the word now, but he just takes the pressure off. He's just there
to kind of control
the game. So, you know, nothing necessarily crucial went through him yesterday, but it was just good to just see another sort of measured performance from him. I mean, Pritchard obviously got the goal.
Yeah, so he looked okay, and for a player of his size, and again, that's not his credit, it's not his fault how big he is, but he has to battle a lot harder than players who are a little bit bigger, I think. So fair play to him.
He did make, that was a cracking tackle on Lewington as well towards the end of the, was it first half?
He's not
where fine, where they were sort of thinking, was it a penalty? But you actually see he got a very good nick on the ball, and that's, I mean, when he arrived, I was thinking, is he the sort of bloke who's going to be willing to track back?
He's not the biggest, is he? To be honest, it's like a school kid out there.
But it was good tracking back and a good talent. And had he got it wrong, it would have been a penalty. And well, Who knows what would have happened.
Yeah. And there was one moment, I don't know, you saw on the television probably better than we were, but he was down the far end from where we were, and he was surrounded by two defenders right on the byline, and then all of a sudden he got past the two defenders. The cross wasn't brilliant, but you thought, how did he do that? And it was like a bit of magic. He just appeared one side of them and then the other side. Yeah. But any...
Well, he just nutmegged them through.
It was incredible. So I mean, we were just sort of open-mouthed with that.
Okay, Mason yesterday?
Well, he'd had such a good game the week before that I think maybe he'd set the standards too high and he was just kind of, again, went about his business. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Didn't really stand out, did he?
No. Ranger yesterday...
Provides the outlet, I think, now that we have.
He's getting more into it, isn't he?
Well, he's getting fitter, presumably.
For his fitness. Yeah. I had that good shot yesterday. Could have easily been a goal. I think some keepers probably wouldn't have got that that first half shot. And we had Ngessen made his debut off the bench yesterday. I didn't actually realise he was 35. I don't know why. I missed
him. No, he's not. He's only 26.
Is he? Because I was thinking that's what the commentator said. Oh, okay. Well, fine. He's a bit younger then.
Yeah.
I say he's 35. Yeah, okay. I never checked afterwards, but no, you've been the oracle, Ian, so I'll believe you. Our very own Wikipedia.
He, I think somebody commented he did get caught offside an awful lot in the time he was on.
Yeah. I think, two or three times he was offside.
He, although interestingly, I mean, I wasn't expecting him to be a sort of striker that would win headers, but he did win a fair few headers. Unfortunately, what with Burn having gone off, there was not really anybody to be on the end of them, but... Certainly, that he's got something about him. I know Millwall fans weren't necessarily...
A beard.
He's got a beard about him, yes. Millwall fans weren't overly complimentary about him, but I definitely think it's a positive addition.
Mm. Yeah, he's a bit of a bruiser up front, which is what we haven't had for a while. And I don't know whether we're ever going to see him and Ranger together. I don't know whether that's in the great scheme of things, but actually that's not a bad partnership when you think about it, is it?
Yeah, I don't think there'd be too many times we would play two up front this season.
But I think Ngessen can play on the wing, so be interested to see who comes in for Burn on Saturday.
So Town up to ninth. I think it's a big improvement in the space of a week and a bit. 8 points now. Just really want to see Town get into those double figures, don't you think? Then we get to 20, then we get to 30. So it's kind of, you've got to get to your first 10. Some of the results yesterday, Bradford sort of 100% home record, 4-0 over Brentford. Port Vale late winner over Carlisle. Crawley beating Gillingham, shame. Jules aren't doing very good this year and probably looking favourites to sort of go down, really. Peterborough, how come they were nearly beaten by Crewe after watching Town thrash Crewe last week? And Peterborough have been really good this season, and they were 2-0 down.
Well, maybe Crewe learned a lot from last week.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have liked that. I mean, it should have been 6-0, shouldn't it? Mm. Well, it should have been 10-0, to be honest. But, you know, any professional team won't want to do that every week. So I think they'll probably learn a few lessons last Saturday. Mm.
Shame to see Steve Evans' Rotherham doing so well at the moment, beating Sheffield United. And Sheffield United probably aren't going to be doing very good this year at the moment, with their manager, and Tranmere drawn with Stevenage 0-0. Very exciting game, that one. So, on the site this week, we sort of asked a couple of questions, really just sort of seeking your views about, are Town actually stronger to push for promotion this season? It's all sort of come about after the sort of performance against Crewe and against QPR, and I was getting a bit carried away. I was thinking that Swindon are really going to be sort of pushing on now. Originally I thought we were going to be finished mid-table. We might be able to get it now. Better than last season. We've got a good crop of young players now. I'm excited by their style of football. Ian, what do you think in terms of Town's chances now? Having seen a month's football and Mark Cooper sort of bedding down into the job.
Right, a few things. I think it's too early to know how good this team's going to be, personally. I think... yes, the last few results, we've had the Crewe game, we've had the QPR game, but it's not that far back. We had the Shrewsbury game, which kind of showed that we're not necessarily set up to play against every team in this league. Gillingham as well, we struggled against at times with the strength. I think the main thing that's going to go against us is the strength of the league on the whole. I just think it's a much stronger league than last year. Wolves are I think Wolves are probably going to walk this division, I've got to be honest. But you look at, I mean, Bristol City should come good, you would have thought, under O'Driscoll. I think Sheffield United should really turn it round, whether that's under David Weir or not, I don't know. Bradford have been very impressed with Bradford. I mean, they've not added an awful lot of players to their team, but with Wells and Hansen up front, I think they're going to cause big problems. As for, I say, I personally think if you take the team from the start last year, or Christmas time where we were tonking teams 5-0, yeah, left, right and centre, I don't think we're as strong as them. Mm-hmm. But that I'd be interested to see. I think the next month's crucial. I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Wolves there. I think Saturday will tell us a big amount about the season. I mean, if we go to Wolves and get something out, that will be a fantastic result.
But Barry Scarlett, one of the commenters on the site, said, despite early reservations, the 2013 crop are starting to look the real deal with strength and depth. Overall, Swindon look a better balanced team than last year. The board and Mark Cooper exceeded my expectations. The only area which I have slight misgivings is the height of a defender. Sort of looking to someone like Flint, and some of our goals against have been conceded in those areas. I mean, kind of a bit proven yesterday. It wasn't, wasn't necessarily about height, and we did kind of...
Just strength in that defence. I think that's been my major problem so far this season.
Yeah. Also, Tezza says, sort of reflects on some of your points there about September, see some difficult games, and you know, obviously Milton Keynes yesterday, Wolves away, Bristol City, Preston away. If we have the overall strength to come through these fixtures with a good number of points, we know how good the team actually are. I mean, in terms of September, I mean, how many points then would you kind of set as a target? I mean, managers do that. They look at going, you know, months and all. Groups, games and chunks, set themselves sort of goals and targets for that period.
Well, I think
we've got the one.
Any point away from home I always look at as a good point. And if you can win your home games, then that's great.
Yeah.
But bearing in mind the away games that we've got, I think if you took 6 points from September, I think that would be a terrific total.
Yeah. 6 points, that means we've got a... win one and draw the other two. So unbeaten month.
Or we could win two. And
two. Yeah, win two.
Well, I suppose so.
Well, exceed the target. Yeah.
But I think, you know, most people I've talked to thought we wouldn't get a point in September. So we've already got one. So I think if you can come out with six, that'd be a fantastic return.
Would you be honest, on sort of paper looking at it beforehand, would you say Milton Keynes would have been the weaker game out of all of them?
Yeah,
would
there
be Preston? Mm-hmm. Our dealer says, in terms of this, but to what extent are we confusing hope with expectation? One pointer perhaps would be the musings of other savvy fans on the opposing clubs around the division. Is there any evidence of Town's chances being talked up outside of Swindon? I've not seen anything along these lines.
Good.
I mean, Vic,
fine with me.
Vic, you live down in Devon.
Yeah.
Any fans down that part of the world? I mean, we're not in the same division as any teams from there.
Well, only people that I know, because they know of my allegiances. But it's interesting. I think, actually, as long as Swindon can keep under the radar, that's fine with me. Best way of looking at it. And I tend to be very realistic about these things. After Crewe on Saturday, I didn't get carried away. It was fantastic, and we enjoyed that moment. But I think you just have to take it each game as it comes and see what happens. And I still think mid-table would be fantastic. Mm. Performance, bearing in mind what we've been through over the last three months. We've shipped out loads of players who are patently better than this division if you look at it on paper. We brought a lot of young kids in who we don't know their long-term abilities. We don't know what the muddy pitches in January, February and March will bring. So let's just see and let's take it easy. I'm not going to predict promotion or championships or playoffs. Mid-table will be fine with me this season.
Yeah, I also think the court case in November could have a say on the season. Yeah. Because although we now have options up front, I'm not sure we have another option like Niall Ranger. I've been very impressed with him so far. I mean, still finding it quite hard at the moment until the court case to fully back him. But what he's brought to the team is something I don't think we've had in a long, long, long time.
Mm. He certainly shows that he's a championship player.
At least.
At least. Yeah. And I mean, what's good about him is that he's had numerous off the pitch issues over various years. We won't go into them, but on the pitch, his temperament is there. Actually, you know, he can control himself. He hasn't had a career. He definitely has been sent off in his career. had a couple of bookings. And that's good to see. When, you know, in other cases where you have players who have got off the pitch troubles, it does kind of follow onto the pitch as well, that they equally get sent off.
Well, you would hope that kind of is a way that he's showing that he's actually able to change it. I mean, we all hope that people change. We all do. And, you know, we can't obviously get into the situation here, but we hope all he can do is get himself as a footballer in the right frame of mind and continue doing what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, my view in terms of the, you know, Town now, yeah, there is promise. There's more promise. I'm not changing my expectations, but there is that promise that something could happen. I didn't expect at the end of this month, you know, I thought Town would come out of it with a good few points, which is what we did, but I didn't think that the team would be playing a better style of football that McDonald tried to get them to play last year at that early point.
We're still... It still baffles us, doesn't it, what happened there? Because this seemed tailor-made for Kevin McDonald. And we're watching a team of young players play decent football, and none of us, I don't think, know exactly what went on.
I don't know. I mean, I, the way he left, it kind of indicates it may have been something personal, something family, and I do hope that isn't the case. But the swiftness of it happening, there being no news, nothing reported of it, I don't know. So I don't. To be honest, I don't think we'll ever find out.
No, we just wish him well. And I think the comments that were made about him were just unnecessary and ridiculous. And you know.
Right. So I mean, sort of more broader, sort of League One, sort of transfer window. Ian, you've been keeping your eye on what's been happening.
Well, I mean,
with the other teams in the division,
as the window
how
closed,
they improved.
Not an awful lot happened, to be honest. I mean. Probably us were the bigger movers, with Nguessen joining and Josie joining. El Habas, perhaps, is how you pronounce it.
I keep forgetting about him.
Who I'm very interested to see. I mean, Jed on Twitter was very... he basically came out and said he'd scored, 3 goals in 20 minutes in a practice game at the training ground, I think. So, I mean, that sounds promising. Sheffield United... I think have strengthened up front. I'm not sure they were lacking up front necessarily. They brought in Baxter from Oldham, Cavalier from Stoke, who sort of had a few loan spells around and about, Harry Bunning from Man City. I think perhaps not necessarily so much the incomings, it's more the players that have been held on to. I mentioned earlier Bradford, the fact they've held on to Naki Wells is huge for them. I know plenty of teams higher up are sniffing around. Brentford, having lost the Everton striker McElhaney to broken leg, have brought in Trotter, they've held on to Donaldson, they've held on to various other players. I know they've lost their keeper to Cardiff, but I think they've gone about their business well. I think Wolves, the fact they've kept hold of Bakary Sakho, Kevin Doyle, they've not got rid of, so he's still around, and they've got a massive crop of youngsters that are very, very, very good. So, I mean, certainly is the window closed. Not an awful lot of movement in our division, but like I say, I think it's been more not so much the players that have come in, but that some of the bigger teams have kept hold of.
Yeah. Well, it's just probably a sign of the strengthening of, you know, League One as a division, with the problems that are happening up the scale in terms of the Premier League that have been talked about this week with Greg Dyke, about the percentage of English players playing in the Premier League, and that number is reducing in League Championship and to some extent in League One under Di Canio, but and other sort of foreign players coming in at this level. I mean, Vic, any sort of thoughts on the sort of division as a whole?
Well, it looks pretty strong, I'd say. I mean, going back to the Greg Dyke thing, I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember when the Premier League was set up said exactly the same thing when the Premier League was set up. It's not rocket science, is it? If you bring in foreign players, and against foreign players per se, but you're bound to strengthen your international, weaken your international team. What else is there to say? And so therefore the younger players are perhaps drifting down, which is great for the lower leagues.
Yeah, I've certainly seen that, Swindon. Okay, we mentioned earlier, we've got Wolves away next week. I'll be honest, my first away match of the season. Looking forward to a good day out there with my father-in-law. You know, Wolves was his team. And I think Swindon can come out of the game actually quite well. Looking for, again, a point at least.
Another side that plays football. So, you know, that's the point, isn't it? If you can play... We certainly, with Crewe, allowed us to play football. Milton Keynes allowed us to play football, and Wolves will as well. So, you know, we can't go there thinking, oh, they're going to be better footballers than us, because our football's as good as any in the division. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, great day out. Love going to Wolves. It is one of the traditional football teams.
Did you go there a couple of years ago where there was that penalty shootout, wasn't it? Yes. In the League Cup.
Yes.
Was that the last time we played Wolves?
It was. Yeah. Of course, we won't mention the League Cup semi-final of some years ago when we were blatantly cheated out of the place at Wembley, but that's a long time ago and we shouldn't let those scars run deep.
Wasn't it, that day?
It was. Yes. We won't let those wounds fester, will we?
No. Ian, any predictions for a score then next Saturday at Wolves? Are you going to be going?
I'm afraid I can't. It's my niece's third birthday next weekend. Ah. So, prediction. I'm going to go... No, I'm not going to give it because it's going to be negative and I don't want to be negative on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so you're going to go for a defeat
I think it will be a defeat, but I think we will, as at Peterborough, we won't disgrace ourselves. We'll play well. Mm. I just think going forward, I think Wolves are probably going to have too much for our defence. Sorry.
Well, I'm just depressed now.
You'll have a nice day out.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, yeah.
See, yet another part of the new stadium that they continually redevelop. When they've already got a fantastic stadium. You just think, oh, okay.
I loved it years ago when they had that half-finished stadium and then they had the one end where they shifted the pitch over, and for years it was half of the pitch and the floodlight was in the middle of the ground.
Yeah, I always remember we went there in 1-2-1 under Glenn Hoddle. It was one of his first games in charge and it was effectively the game that kept us up. And the old stand was derelict, so we were all in the new stand, and there it was, stuck in the other side of it. And they were going back to that League Cup semi-final. We were miles away from the action, and there was this kerfuffle going on, and somebody was walking around. And apparently, the announcement had been made that Eusebio was in the ground, and he was walking around, and nobody knew who he was because we didn't hear what it was.
Was he really there?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Wow, to watch Swindon.
Yeah, well, later, just a little story, I interviewed the great man, actually. I got this phone call once, years ago, and he said, would you like to come up to Burma? Because we've got somebody you might like to talk to. His name's Eusebio?
Yeah.
I'll be there in 10 seconds.
Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
What was he like?
Oh, it was lovely. I mean, his English wasn't brilliant, but my Portuguese is non-existent, so that's But it was Eusebio. What else is there to say?
Very good. Right, so well, that's all that we've got time for on this podcast. So massive thanks to both Ian and Vic for joining me today. And I'll speak to you all in a fortnight's time. Cheers.